The agenda is before you. I have the approval of the minutes of the agenda. Is there any question, discussion?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
On the agenda, I have a question and a request. There is item 14 under a consent item of the approval of the AT&T ground lease, and I'd like to request that that be moved from consent, and actually I'd like it to be postponed to the next meeting when the Real Estate and Planning Committee has had an opportunity to hear about it. I'd like to move to postpone.
So you would like to have removal of the item and take it to the Finance Committee for consideration?
Finance and or Planning and Real Estate.
Is there a motion?
So moved, Madam Chair.
And is there a second by Mr. Dykes? Discussion? Hearing those, the
can I just ask a clarification? I think I heard a motion sent to two committees, Real Estate and Finance.
What is, it would appear to me, Madam Chair, that it should go to Real Estate and Planning. Now, if there should be some simultaneous review, I wouldn't object.
Mr. Saltz.
Just have it go to Real Estate, one committee.
Real Estate only? Okay. It does not require, okay, Finance. All right. The Real Estate Committee is the motion. No, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? And the agenda is amended. Next item of the agenda is the approval of the minutes. The recertification will be at the end when we return. Approval of the minutes of September 27th. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Downey and second by Mr. Costa. Discussion? Hearing not all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed. And the following is the October 11th special meeting of the board. Is there a motion for the minutes? Moved by Mr. Nichols and second. I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed. Thank you very much. We now have public comment. And the first item of public comment is by Mr. Ronald Chestnut. Mr. Chestnut, present. Mr. Chestnut, please come forward.
Good morning, board.
Good morning.
My name is Ronald Chestnut, as you heard. I'm here with a complaint that happened on 10/11/12. The incident, I came on the bus that I was the negative in it. I was a strike that day by a number of adult officers who surrounded me. Slammed me all over the bus. Jumped me off the bus. Driver called in and claimed I had weapons on me. Behind another negative of a man he put off the bus before stopped. I thought that was really rude of her. The man was about 70 some years old. That hurt me. You see, she was slammed him off the bus. When she could have gave him one chance, the next time so you can't board my bus, drop the thing. Which would have been respectful. It hurt me when she turned around because I spoke up. That was ugly. That was really rude. Well, you can get off the bus too. You and my lady said that's necessary. If you pull it over at the next stop, hard for it. Then, taken. Some things that were from the body, taken. There. But hurt me that. There's a couple other things that were some drivers, when you board the bus, put handicapped equipment in their hands, sometimes don't allow you to sit down before they take off. sometimes we're behind schedule, sometimes we're above schedule. But it would be for it. Not now it's going to hurt stuff for. I'm going to make this report and I'm going to make that statement. I would like to talk to what we need to do.
Thank you, Mr. Chestnut. Mr. Chestnut, we'll ask if staff could have someone to address your issue.
Thank you for coming.
Okay. Thank you for coming forward. The next person is Leslie Barksdale. Am I calling your last name correctly? Leslie Barksdale. Is there someone here? Okay. Is this Miss or Mr. Barksdale? No. Okay. I think they're not present. And that concludes all those that are signed up for public comment. The next item on the agenda is the Writers Advisory Council, and it's Mr. Sykes that is speaking today. Welcome, Mr. Sykes.
Thanks for having us today. My name is Carl Seip. I'm the D.C. Chair of the Writers Advisory Council. You may remember me from the discussion a few weeks ago. On that note, the Council would like to thank board members for their participation at the incident communication panel at the October 11th meeting, and also particularly Mr. Downey for his leadership and stewardship of that, moderating the discussion. We view that discussion as a key first step in broader public dialogue with Metro Riders about how to improve communications to riders and the public during incidents, and we know that the board shares that desire. Council looks forward to working with Metro board members and staff to identify opportunities for future discussion and input. Particularly, we'd like to thank Ms. Richardson and Lloyd Figuera, for their help in pulling together the panel, so thank you. At the Council's October meeting, staff provided an overview of the Rush Plus service changes and customer reaction to the new service. Council members felt that implementation of Rush Plus still left some room for improvement and suggested that Metro station additional staff on platforms during rush hours to help address both crowding issues and improve signage to direct customers where to board, to wait to board trains. Council members also suggested that Metro share the results of its customer research with the broader public and also clearly outlining the steps it has taken to address issues that have arisen from the new service patterns. Members felt that sharing this information with the public will demonstrate that Metro is tuned in to riders' concerns and is actively working to address them. We've already heard from Ms. Bauerthox in response to our request and appreciate her help in better understanding these customer trends. Last evening, several Riders Advisory Council members, as well as members of the AAC, participated in viewing of the hard mock-up of the new 7000 series rail car. We're certainly pleased to see a vast improvement over the current rolling stock that incorporates many rider-friendly suggestions, and I think Patrick mentioned that the AAC got, sorry if I'm stealing your line, Patrick, 19 of their 20 recommendations adopted, so I think that is certainly a great thing. So we appreciate Metro staff for facilitating that tour. Finally, we know bus public hearings are underway. Council members are attending those hearings that Metro is holding this week and next week to listen to rider concerns, and we will follow up as appropriate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Seip, and thank you again for your participation in the Riders Advisory Council in the panel discussion and the ongoing work that we're going to be doing together. Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Next is the report of the Accessibility Committee. Mr. Patrick Sheehan.
Thank you very much for letting me give you this report. I think we've got a number of things I want to chat with today, but since I don't have any of my pals up here, it may be a shorter report today. As was said, the 7000 railcar series, we had a number of people from AAC out there last night to look at the railcars. As was said, we had 20 suggestions, 19 out of 20 were incorporated into the new design. I think specifically for 15 years we've been talking about automated station announcements coming through, and that's been done. I think a big initiative that was in the 7000 series that we asked for was taking out the center poles so that wheelchairs could be move around a lot more easier, and we had a bunch of wheelchairs there last night, and they thought that the 7000 series was wide open enough so they can move up and down and maneuver their wheelchairs. And then specifically, I thought that the putting the emergency buttons closer to the handicap seating is a real plus for that. I appreciate the working group that worked on this through the AAC, and we worked very cooperatively with WMATA staff. So I'm very pleased about that. 19 out of 20 issues getting resolved, and I think it's a good track record. So a great report on that. The smart card dispensers, we also took a look at that last night, incorporating the speech into the smart card machine. As a matter of fact, being able to touch the screen to turn on the speech is very interesting design, so you don't have to look for an audio button. I might steal that, actually, and bring that back to Department of Veterans Affairs, because I think it's a very effective way to turn on and off speech. What I felt, and I think there have been enough news reports and magazine reports, was that this problem surfaced in September, came before my committee, and we made certain recommendations. I understand from last night that the new machines are going to be available with total access by the 12th of November, which I think is moving with great speed. So I would just say we recognize that we had an issue. I appreciate how it was resolved, the speed at which it was resolved. I think it is very effective. Let's see. Lastly, I want to talk about the fare calculator. We've been looking at a prototype or a calculator on the web. We've been working with Christian Kent and his people. We run into difficulties over the last couple of months. I work in IT at Department of Veterans Affairs, so I'm familiar with those kinds of issues. What I'm impressed with was the solution that was offered to us through Christian's office, in which we're going to work with Trapeze to integrate the new fare calculator right into Trapeze. That has always been the end game, so that people who don't use computers would be able to get that same information. When Christian indicated to me that we were looking at an April-May timeframe, I thought that was incredibly speedy. So I'm here to say that is a very good solution. I'm also here to say that I didn't realize that we could do parallel processing of both the online calculator and the Trapeze, and the work on Trapeze. I think that once we get that done, and once we get that integrated into Trapeze, we're going to be able to see a system that is going to meet a couple of the principles that the board talked about: fair simplicity, fairness. I think you had six principles, and I think the design within Trapeze is going to meet a lot of those principles that were set forth, I think, about a year ago when we talked about them. Underneath the work that's going to be done by integrating this fare calculator into Trapeze, we have about four or five subtasks. We've got to look at training the reservationists on how to use it. We need to be able to indicate to the disabled community that they can ask for it. We need to do a lot of testing to make sure it's not going to affect Trapeze. So I think between now and May, we've got at least four subtasks that I can think of, and I've probably forgotten a couple. That's a lot of work. AEC is going to be here to work with Christian, work with the developers to test, make sure that the system works as advertised. So I guess bottom line on that is I am extremely pleased with the timeline for getting that done. I think that it's going to benefit the disabled community a lot. And I look forward to working with Christian and his office to make sure that we have a good tool that's going to work effectively. We also still want to get the fare calculator on the web. I think that'll have a lot of use. I always tease Christian that after we get it on the web, that maybe we should look at getting it on a smartphone. And then he cringes. I've given too many tasks. But I'm very pleased. I think that, you know, once we get that done and once we can demonstrate its effectiveness, that's going to be a technology that Trapeze is going to be able to use nationwide. So I don't know where we go with that, but I think that's a very, very effective module to have in the Trapeze, and I think it's been done by disabled community here with the board. So those are my areas that I'm very pleased to report that we have movement in and success. I also want to just indicate to you that in November, we're going to hopefully come before you with a lighting survey that we've been working on, in which one of our working groups has sort of gone gangbusters and gotten some very good information that we want to be able to share with you with recommendations. We're working with staff right now to make sure that those recommendations are going to be things that are doable and are effective. And then in January, alongside the new Metro Access contract, we're going to come before you with our recommendations on the bus stop survey and where we think we can make improvement, where we have made improvements, where we think more improvements can be made. At some point, very much like you have meetings with the RAC, I think it might be effective also to maybe have quarterly meetings with the leadership of BAAC so that we can strategize a little bit more about how we can get A, B, or C done. I think that in this kind of setting that I'm in right now, probably not a great place to strategize, but we would welcome that opportunity, and I'll put that in a formal letter as a recommendation. But I think we've done well. I certainly do, going back to the tool, I certainly do appreciate the staff being able to sort of flip-flop the priorities and work on both projects at the same time. That's the kind of thinking that I had not considered. I thought we had to get the tool online first and then work with Trapeze. But being able to work on both projects at the same time and get two deliverables out of it as soon as possible, I think is very good. So kudos on those areas. I think we're moving forward and look forward to giving you more projects and products that you can look at and evaluate. And we'll see where we go from there. Any questions?
Thank you very much. I want to let me go with Mr. Downey right now.
Just a question on the lighting survey.
Yes.
I think we very much need that kind of advice. I hope you will be looking at both the stations where lighting has been improved versus those where it hasn't. So we get a sense of whether those improvements are making a difference.
Good. We'll take that under advisement. We're setting priorities, and so we'll make sure that we incorporate that. I think one of the things, just as a preview to that, we expected the lighting working group to sort of look at maybe five or six stations. And this group went out with a bunch of disabled low-vision individuals, disabled veterans and all, and you'll get a chance to maybe meet them next month. And they did 40 of the stations. I was just impressed with that. So I think they've got a good product. I'm looking forward to them maybe coming next month and giving you that product. And we're coordinating results with Christian and his staff so that it's going to be consistent with exactly with what you just said. What are we doing now, and have we evaluated those stations?
Mr. Downs.
A comment. I think I agree with you about the acceleration of the integration of Trapeze into the information system. It begins to meet the board's commitment about core outcomes, about having the fare system be transparent, accurate, and understandable for the users.
Right.
I also want to follow up with a comment about the recent memo that Christian outlined, where there was a definite possibility of increases required in staffing, in space, and IT capacity, I think it's imperative that that the board fully understand the cost implications going forward of this major integration. Apparently, it is not costless, and having that as part of a finance committee agenda item in the near future will help us all better understand what the cost of implementation is.
Okay. So, okay, I guess we would love, we would welcome that kind of information too back to the committee so that we understand what the cost benefits are. And yeah, I find that information, I think that information is useful. Good. Thank you for that. I hadn't realized we were at that stage right now, but I agree. There are certain costs and certain benefits. We need to weigh that.
Mr. Bolger.
That one works. Thanks, Bert. I mean, are you all going to get a brief on this new big paratransit contract before we get briefed, or how is this going to work?
Can I comment on that?
Please.
Sure. I think we briefed everyone on the model.
The model. Access,
right. The business model, contract model that we're going forward with. As we get closer to evaluating and coming to a recommendation on the we think is the best course to follow, I think it would be appropriate exec session to discuss the contract prior to award. And certainly we can outline for the accessibility committee where we think we're going in terms of the final model that we're getting.
Right. We understand. I understand procurements and what can be said and what can't be said. We appreciate that. I think that one of the areas where we try to be effective is in the implementation phase. When there are areas that we can be effective and contribute to the smooth transition and running of the new system, you probably understand that we'll be pretty vocal to work. But bottom line on all of that is that we need to have a efficient, successful system. We've come to expect and I think understand that the current system works well, and there are some things that can be improved, but I think the quality of the Metro Access system is something that the disabled community is going to expect, and we've reached a certain level of quality right now, and so that's what we want to try to make sure that we keep and achieve.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sheehan. And again, want to thank you. Your input is very valuable. As noted in the 19 out of 20 piece, it's better to get it in a collaborative way versus one that is not. And we appreciate all the work you did.
Thank you very much. I've got good people that work with me and do a lot of this work in working groups behind the scene. I think one of the reasons why you get I think a good product out of the AAC is the tireless work that's been done by the committee, working groups and lighting members and all that kind of stuff. So I'm very proud of them. I'm pleased to be their chair, and it's a real privilege to come here and be able to give good news and products of what we'll deliver now and in the future. Thanks.
We look forward to your letter, and we anticipate a response to the quarterly meetings. It's been valuable to us with the other. Okay. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is a report by the chair, and I'd like to take a moment of time. Following the last meeting of the Audits and Investigations Committee, the board publicly released an in-depth independent report from the law firm of Cadwallader, Wickersham, and Taft, which concluded that a former board member violated WMATA's standards of conduct. In releasing the report received from the law firm on October 11th, I indicated the board would review the report thoroughly and take any steps necessary to ensure that such matters of concern involving this and future boards can be considered promptly, investigated thoroughly, and that we will continue to protect and preserve our values of transparency and accountability. While the board has undertaken substantial governance reforms over the last 2 years, including strengthening our ethics codes when we adopted our first ever bylaws last year, we will remain vigilant to ensure that we have clearly stated the conduct that is expected of our board and that the process to raise any concerns about that conduct is clearly codified. We note that in the Florida Avenue development matter, WMATA's general counsel did not conduct an investigation, as she did not have then, nor does she have now, the authority to investigate matters related to board member conduct. In fact, she specifically precluded from investigating board members by the standards of conduct. The board's bylaws indicate that any concerns regarding perceived or real conflicts of interest will be considered by the board. As a next step, the full board is turning the matter over to the Governance Committee, Chair Mr. Michael Barnes. The committee will review the current standards of conduct and propose any amendments it deems appropriate. I want to thank the Audits and Investigations Special Working Group for its work, and I speak, I think, for the full board in restating our commitment to proper governance of this authority and to assuring that we individually and collectively continue to earn the public's confidence and trust. With that, I'd go to the next agenda item, which is the report from the General Manager and the CEO.
Good morning, Chair Hudgens and board members. Over the weekend, our customers were able to begin using the new escalators at the DuPont Circle Station south entrance.
That's an applause.
And I was very pleased that Council Member Jack Evans and the neighborhood ANC commissioners could join us for the ribbon cutting. And thank you for that applause. And I know some of our board members have already used that escalator. Many more were able to view the event online as Metro streamed it live. This was our first such live stream event. We will do this in the future as we receive positive feedback, including from Twitter, where the event was included in a trending This Week report, right along with the birth of Adele's baby and the A-Rod and Yankees discussion that's going on. Many of the customers that we spoke with at DuPont were genuinely excited to see the entrance reopen, and we are glad that their wait is over. I want to again commend Dave Kubicek and Rodrigo Batara's team, as well as support teams from Transit Police and Safety, for their work to manage the project safely, delivered on time and on budget. Speaking of new equipment, this week, as was mentioned before, some of our customers were able to tour the new 7K model rail car, or hard mock-up, as we call it. As you know, both our employees and our customers had substantial input into the design of the car. We invited those same customers back to see this stage of development, and I will tell you that they were very pleased with our progress. Sorry about that.
It can't be Dave.
No, it can't be Dave. Usually is. One customer, Nadir, said, "It seems like everything we suggested came to fruition." A second customer, Michelle, said, "It gives me a Zen feeling." And my favorite comment was from a rider named Amy, who expressed her excitement about the new signage on the car and said she's not afraid of getting lost anymore. The car will be wrapped up and trucked to Lincoln, Nebraska, so that the production facility can utilize it for design familiarization and training as they prepare to build the new cars. Equipment design is not the only place where we are listening to our customers about Metro's future. The Mind Mixer online tool that we're using to collect public comment about the board's strategic plan has received thousands of visitors who are voting on certain ideas and adding others. Today, we've received input from 350 participants who have provided 1,600 votes and posted 500 comments and 87 ideas. The Mind Mixer site has had 2,400 unique visitors, and the trending themes include improving core stations, addressing train crowding, providing more real-time service information, improving off-peak service frequency, and giving buses priority. The next round of questions begins tomorrow, so please continue to spread the word to your colleagues, constituents, and stakeholders to join the conversation at WMATA.com. The next questions we are posing include prioritizing core capacity improvements, bus reliability measures, and areas that need to be connected by high-frequency, high-speed transit. We're also asking for people to share their best ideas for Metro based on their travel and transit systems around the world. In addition to our online conversation, outreach for Momentum includes hearing from stakeholders around the region. Recently, we met with the D.C. Federation of Citizens, the Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, the Arlington County Board, and the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. We will be meeting soon with the Montgomery County Council. My remarks today are brief because I want to have sufficient time to recognize two of our employees for their remarkable efforts. Before I introduce them, one final note, actually two final notes, on the success of our Smart Trip program. As you know, on July 1st, we began a new fare policy which added a surcharge for paper tickets, and we enhanced the convenience of Smart Trip plastic cards with new online features, including auto reload. While we only have one quarter of data, the results are significant. For the period of July through September, compared with the same period last year, we have seen a 27% increase in the number of Smart Trip cards sold and a 17% decrease in the number of magnetic stripe paper tickets sold. Also, since we began the $3 rebate program last month, more than 30,000 rebates have been issued or are pending, and more than 7,000 Smart Trip account holders registered for auto load in the first 5 weeks of the program. The policy, new customer amenities, and awareness campaign are helping convert customers to Smart Trip. Along those lines, as was touched on earlier, our first new Smart Card dispenser is now equipped with full accessibility features and functionality. Were put into operation at the New Carrollton station yesterday. Dispensers at 13 stations will go live today. And the last of the initial 100 dispensers will be functional within about 2 weeks. We anticipate another 100 dispensers will be ready for operation by the end of March. A complete replacement of all of our old smart card dispensers by the end of June. Turning now to our spotlight employees. Rail operator James Young joined Metro in March 1996 as a student bus operator, and in 2010 he transferred to the rail team as a rail operator, where he works out of the Largo Rail Division. On Thursday, September 20th, at approximately 7:55 a.m., a man climbed down the platform of the Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport Station and placed himself intentionally on the tracks in front of an approaching train. The approaching southbound Blue Line train was being operated by Mr. Young. Mr. Young saw the man on the track and immediately applied his brakes, just in time to stop the train from striking the man lying on the track bed. Third rail power was then shut off to allow first responders to rescue the man. During this time, Mr. Young had to maintain his composure and keep his passengers calm. Although it was a close call, first responders were able to rescue the uninjured man and transport him to a local hospital for evaluation. Today, we want to recognize Mr. Young for his alertness and attentiveness and thank him for his quick reaction that prevented the man from being seriously injured or killed. Mr. Young, will you please join me up front here? Station manager Darren Washington has been with WMATA for 16 years. While working at the Roslyn station the morning of September 28th, he heard a loud thump and turned to see that one of our patrons had fallen flat on his back. The gentleman was leaving the station and collapsed while suffering from a heart attack. Knowing time was crucial, Mr. Washington and another customer began administering CPR. Mr. Washington called for the defibrillator that was on the wall only a few feet away. Once they administered the shock, they saw the patient gain consciousness and begin to breathe. Mr. Washington was relieved that the patron was breathing on his own by the time EMS arrived. Mr. Washington reported that once the customer started breathing, he said a silent prayer and wished for the patient to have a quick recovery.
EMS transported the customer to a nearby hospital. I am happy to say that he is indeed on the way to make the full recovery. Mr. Washington credits years of training and instinct for his actions. Today we recognize him for his quick thinking and putting his skills into action to save the life of a Metro customer. Mr. Washington, please join me up here.
My remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Stalls, and to our two employees. I think these two kind of highlight the fact that these two gentlemen go to work every day to do their job, and their job is very complex, and they're able to respond no matter what. So we are immensely grateful for the kind of work that you do and the sensitivity you have in doing that job well. So congratulations to you, and thank you very much. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the report of the Finance and Administration Committee. Mr. Marcel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. The Finance and Administration Committee met on October 11th, and two actions were referred to the board by the committee. The first is the approval to amend the FY 2013 operating reimbursable budget for the federal 2012 security grants. Staff sought committee acceptance of the Transit Security Grant Program funding and approval for staff to amend the 2013 reimbursable operating budget to include $1.5 million. I'd like to move approval of this resolution.
It's been moved by Mr. Acosta. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Downs. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
And opposed? Mr. Costa?
The second is the approval of special service and fares for the 2013 Inauguration Day. I'll note that there is a revised resolution in front of you. Staff sought approval to, and I'll note the change here, provide peak level service as needed on all modes for Inauguration Day until 9 p.m. That is the as-needed is the inserted change to the resolution. It also called to sell a specially priced commemorative smart trip card preloaded with a one-day rail pass, which will also be accepted as a bus flash pass on Inauguration Day. It will also charge a all-day peak period rail fares commensurate with extended peak period service on Inauguration Day, and it will also charge the normal weekday parking fee up to $5 on that day to be collected upon exit. I'd like to move approval of this revised resolution.
It's been moved by Mr. Acosta. Is there a second? Second by Ms. Bowser. Discussion?
Madam Chair, just a question for Mr. Acosta or the staff. In reviewing the materials, I noticed from the last inauguration that there was a certain balance of smart trip cards remaining. Is there a plan of how we might sell any balance after Inauguration Day? Is there a thought about reducing the cost? Or I know that you're ordering fewer this time than you did the last time, but is it possible that that inventory can move after Inauguration Day?
Spouser, could you hold 1 second? Your voice is...
Sorry. We do still have a quantity remaining. That's correct. We've continued to sell them since the last inauguration. We will continue to sell them until the quantity is depleted. And we will include in our marketing plan for the inauguration plans to more aggressively market the remaining cards.
Is it possible to reduce the cost after the Inauguration Day so that they'll move?
We can look into that, sure.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Okay. Mr. Downey, next question.
Did I hear that the parking will be collected on entry?
On exit.
Okay.
Any other questions on the item? That, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Acosta. The next item is the report of the Customer Service and Operations Committee. Mr. Downs.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Reporting one recommended motion from the committee to the board, and that is the approval of rail service standards. I'd remind the board that we undertook this effort to have a parallel set of service standards that would be equivalent to the bus service standards that the board adopted a number of years ago. We had an initial run at this. I felt that we did not have enough outreach. There was some confusion about both the intent and the use of the standards. We went through an extensive outreach process, the staff did, with a number of forums and with both the RAC and the AAC. Both the RAC and the AAC had made a number of suggestions about the standards and their enhancement and use. We have a final product for this phase of the rail standards. There were a number of suggestions made about developing further standards. We have tentatively agreed to that process to develop a second round of rail standards, including standards for escalator, elevator, information about the rail system in the second phase, perhaps in the spring or summer. And with that, I would make a motion to approve the rail service standards, which include a formal enrollment of hours of service, rush service frequency, rush service passengers per car, all of which are performance criteria that would be brought back to the board for a quarterly performance review, the same as we do with bus service standards, and be used for decision-making about adjustments to stay within the service criteria. I would make the motion for the vote, the board to approve the rail service standards.
The motion includes the resolution.
Yes.
Moved by Mr. Downs. Is there a second?
Sure.
Second by Mr. Downey. Any discussion? I do want to emphasize the importance and the input that we received and the ability to move this one back before we got much discussion that we needed for clarity of why we need it and how it's used. So, hearing no other discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Thank you very much. And the last item, next item is the report of the Audits and Investigations Committee. Mr. Nichols.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The following action item was discussed at the October 25th Audits and Investigations Committee meeting, and that is acceptance of the fiscal year 2012 financial statements and audit deliverables. The recommended action by the committee is that we accept, that the board accept the fiscal year 2012 external audit and related materials submitted by our external auditor, Clifton Larson Allen. The audit, including the audited financial statements and the single audit reports, which include the independent auditor's report on internal control over financial reporting and on compliance and other matters based on an audit of financial statements performed in accordance with general accounting standards, and independent auditor's report on compliance with requirements that could have a direct and material effect on each major program and on awards in accordance with the with OMB Circular A-133. Before I move for approval of this, I would like to say that we are, first off, the auditor's opinion on the financial statements is an unqualified opinion, which we are very pleased about. It's very important to the organization. And also the report, but the report on internal control over financial reporting and audit compliance and other matters based on the audit and financial statements performed in accordance with governmental accounting standards, auditing standards, we did, there were two material weaknesses identified, and two significant deficiencies identified. The audit committee has discussed the report. The board has is being presented with the report today. There's an extraordinary amount of change going on within the system right now that is very important as a part of the progress forward. Extraordinary amount of investment in capital, in operating, in training, in new infrastructure to account for our operations and to increase our transparency and accountability. And a lot of that is coming through the system at the same time. And it's not surprising that we would have a lot of challenge in meeting that. We are in a compressed schedule. We have met all of our deadlines for our reporting responsibilities. And yet, I think the board is feeling the urgency of wanting to make sure that we examine carefully all of the findings and to understand the implications of how we must continue to grow and improve. We will have further dialogue with both our auditor and with our management to more fully examine the findings. We appreciate the work that went into this, met our deadlines, and we will carefully examine it to continue to make sure that we are learning where we are and continuing to grow and to increase our transparency and accountability and effectiveness with how we govern and how we manage this system. So with that, I would move that the board accept the audit findings of our external audit. Do you have a second?
Moved by Mr. Nichols, and is there a second? Mr. Barnes, seconds. Any discussion on that? Mr. Downey.
One of the important features of an audit is recommendations that are made and then follow-up to make sure that they are dealt with. I know we are in the process now of changing auditors. The present firm has been there 5 years and served us well. We want to be sure we don't drop the ball with a new firm, that they'll continue to look back and say, have the things that were recommended been implemented. I note in this year's report there are still some 2010, 2011 open items that are still being worked on, so hopefully the audit committee will follow up on that.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of a motion?
Aye. Aye.
And those opposed? Thank you. The next report is a report of the Governance Committee, and Mr. Barnes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The committee has three items to bring for the board's consideration this morning. The first is the approval of the General Counsel's reporting relationship. We recommend approval that the General Manager CEO shall be responsible for appointing and removing the General Counsel subject to the concurrence of the Board, establishing the General Counsel's compensation consistent with the authority standards, and establishing performance goals for and assessing the performance of the General Counsel with consultation with the Board. I would move approval of this item, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Is there a second to motion? That includes resolution. Second by Mr. Dyke. Is there any discussion on the matter? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed?
Mr. Barnes. The next item is another one that the Board's familiar with, and that is approval of the Board Secretary job description. That when the committee met in, at our last meeting to consider this, we amended the job description to include the incumbent advising the board on governance best practices for public entities such as WMATA, including making recommendations for changes regarding our procedures, bylaws, and ethics documents. A copy of the amended job description is in your packet, and I would move approval.
Moved by Mr. Barnes. Second? Second by Mr. Downey. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
The final item is something with which the board is extremely familiar because we've been working on this for, I think it's now 15 or 16 months. And that is our strategic framework, which is an important step in the development of our strategic plan, which we hope to be able to finalize early in the coming year. Today I would recommend approval of the strategic framework by endorsing the recommended vision statement, which is Metro moves the region forward by connecting communities and improving mobility for our customers. A new mission statement, Metro provides safe, equitable, reliable, and cost-effective public transit. And the adoption of four strategic goals for Metro. One, build and maintain a premier safety culture and system. Two, meet or exceed customer expectations by consistently delivering quality service. Three, improve regional mobility and connect communities. And four, ensure financial stability and invest in our people and assets. I would move approval of the strategic framework.
Thank you. Mr. Barnes moves approval. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Acosta. Any discussion? Any discussion? Mr. Down.
Obviously, we'll build further down on some of these as we go into the longer work, but I just want to be sure when we talk about a safe system, that implies also a secure system.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we also, in noting the 15 months, this has really been a very exciting and a busy month, but it's a very important one, and I think the important part is how we go out to our stakeholders with this. Ms. Hines.
Thank you, Chair Hutchins. I just wanted to take this opportunity to say to the public that this was an activity that all 15 members of our board have engaged in deeply, that we've spent a tremendous amount of time talking among ourselves, talking in work sessions, talking with the various jurisdictions that we represent. We've heard from stakeholders. We've gotten a lot of feedback. And I think that this is the first step in the next sort of generation of work that we need to do that will take the KPIs and other management tools and then move them into a strategic framework that the whole region can use to track the progress that this agency is committed to making as we try to move more people efficiently around our communities. So I just, this is about, although only eight people will say I think the rest of us are all saying I as well.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Hines. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
And those opposed. Thank you very much. Great work. The next item is the report from the jurisdictions. The District of Columbia, Mr. Downs.
I do not believe that the district has anything to report.
Mr. Barnes.
Well, on behalf of all of the Maryland riders of Metro who use the DuPont Circle Station, as I do, I want to salute everybody at Metro who had a hand in bringing it in on time. And those escalators are gorgeous, and I love them. And congratulations. I have nothing else to report.
Thank you. Thank you. Northern Virginia Transportation Commission, I have no items. Is there from Virginia? Hearing none. And Mr. Downey, federal government. No report. With that, and no further business to come before, the board will reconvene in executive session this time.